Well, we're going to be speaking to you this morning and maybe another Sunday morning or two. I'm not sure. Just depends on how the Lord leads with this. We're going to be speaking to you on the subject of having our prayers answered, how to get your prayers answered. I don't know about you, but I've had many answered prayers over the years, and I praise God for that. I'm sure many other Christians of us can say the same thing, that we've had prayers answered, but we've had some that have gone unanswered for some reason that we didn't know, and sometimes they weren't answered for a long while. I'll put it this way, they weren't answered in our time frame. They were answered later on. We need to pray, so I'm gonna read Luke chapter 1. Chapter 11, verse 1, I'm going to read that passage of Scripture first. And it came to pass that as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased his prayer, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. I'm not going to read all of this. I'm going to skip down to verse 9. Jesus said, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone, verse 10, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son, verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If then you, being relatively evil, that's what he's saying here, not that we're evil, but relatively evil in comparison to him, and if you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? When Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, they were not asking him just for some words to say or a prayer or prayers to be repeated over and over again. What they were actually asking him was how to pray, but not just how to pray or to say words, but how to pray in order to have their prayers answered. We don't want to just pray to be saying words. We want to pray to have our prayers answered. That's what he was asking, because they had seen him pray and they'd seen his prayers, many of his prayers answered. So today we need to know if the church ever did anything today, we need to know how to pray. And all of us as Christians need to know how to pray. And to have our Heavenly Father answer our prayers. Jesus explained to them that His Word explained, this Bible explains to all of His children how we can pray to God and have answer to our prayers. He also said that our Heavenly Father wants us to pray. He wants us to ask. He wants to give to His children. What parent? And he was comparing us with God. What parent that has, you have children when they ask, we don't give them everything they ask for, but if they ask for anything that they have a need of, then we do our best to try to give it to them as best we can. Amen. When they're growing up, I'm talking about. Amen. And all of us as God's children are in us, we're not grown yet. We may be somewhat mature, but as long as we're in these physical bodies and as we are learning to walk with the Lord day by day, we're still growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's what the Bible asks us to do. And in order to do that, we need to know how to pray, and we need to know how to ask, because he says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. So we need to know how to ask. We need to know how to seek. We need to know how to knock so that we can see our prayers answered and that our joy will be full. That's what he said. Ask so that you can receive, that your joy might be full. Amen. I don't know about you, but every time I pray for something and I see the prayer answered, I get happy. I'm joyful. Usually because it's something I'm praying for, not all the time, but sometimes it's things that I'm praying for that I need. But I get just as joyful when I'm praying for other people and their circumstances and their situations, and I pray for them and I'll see God answer and meet their needs and supply their needs. Amen? And that's what we all should do. Our joy needs to be full, because the joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is our strength. If we have little joy, we have little strength. If we have a lot of joy, we have a lot of strength. And one of the things that builds up our joy, he says, is to ask and seek and knock, and we find and he answers our prayers, and then our joy will be full. Amen? I don't know about you, but I like to be full of joy, especially the joy of the Lord. And I don't just need that on a Sunday morning when I come to church, and I need to be filled with his joy, and we all do, as we see people and situations and circumstances change in our lives and other people's lives, as because God our Father has answered our prayers. Amen? Praise God. So, the first thing I want to say to you is he wants us to pray the prayer of expectation. So we don't want to pray and just pray and be saying words. We don't want to pray and ask him for things. Now, you can have prayer and thank him for things, but most of our prayers, if we're praying, we're asking for things, because he tells us we have not because we ask not, right? So I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 7, and this begin with verse 7, and it says almost the same thing that he said in Luke, but it's maybe a little bit different. Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. And we're talking about now the prayer of expectation. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, when his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Amen? So, I think that when we pray, we need to pray expecting. Anticipating. We are anticipating, we are expecting an answer. And if the answer doesn't come right away, well then we will ask again, we will begin to seek, and we'll begin to knock. What he's saying there is ask, seek, knock. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. If you're asking for whatever it is, what God wants you to do, well, then you need to expect, and if it's according to his will, and we're going to get into some of this as we go down through here, but if we're asking, then we need to be expecting something. That's, to me, the prayer of faith is a prayer of expectation. When I pray, if I'm praying, sometimes I have to pray and ask what God's will is in this matter, but when I'm praying and I know it's God's will, then I pray with anticipation and expectation. I shared with you several Sundays ago that when I pray according to the Word of God, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, right? The Bible tells us that God is not willing that, and this is His Word, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't that what He said? So when I pray for someone who is lost or who doesn't know the Lord or have a relationship with Him, then I pray according to what the Bible says, that God will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. I'm praying that God will come down into their lives and change their lives and translate them out from the kingdom and power of darkness, this world system, and transfer them into the kingdom of God. Amen? And I've seen a lot of people, and it probably wasn't just my prayer, but there may have been a lot of prayer from other people too. But it gives me joy when I see, and I don't give up. I can pray that prayer with anticipation because God says it's His will. And we're praying according to His will. So we can pray with expectation because He's not willing that any should perish. And if they don't get saved right away, I'll just keep on praying because I know it's His will that they're not lost and they'll be saved. Amen? So when we're talking about here in our first point of this, how to get our prayers answered, we need to pray with expectation. We're expecting prayers to be answered. Then the second one here on here is to pray the prayer of agreement. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, Jesus again speaking said, I say unto you that if two of you, it can be more, but if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, are y'all listening to this? I'm talking about how you can get your prayers answered now. Amen. This is not what I'm telling you how to get your prayers answered. This is what God's telling us is how to get our prayers answered. So if two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they will ask, it will be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. For where, verse 20, Matthew 18, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So when two or three together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they agree together to have their prayers answered, and they ask this prayer. The Bible, God says, the Father says, and Jesus says, it will be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, some people always ask them stupid questions about things like this, so that doesn't mean that I can get Brother Lonnie McGarry and Brother Johnny and Brother Scott and who anybody else, get three or four of us together, and I get down here, and we get down here at the altar, and we gather together in the name of Jesus, and I say, now, Lord, I want you to give me a $1 million home. I want it 4 bedrooms with 4 baths. I want a swimming pool in the backyard. I want you to give me a yacht. I want you to give me an airplane. I want you to give me a landing strip, and I want you to give me a Cadillac and a Lincoln Continental Town Car. And I'm asking you because you said if we ask anything in your name, you'll give it to us. No, I'm sorry. I hate to burst your bubble, but we've got enough sense to know it doesn't work that way, right? So He's not saying that. And He's not just saying that anything we ask for either that He's going to give us, because there's some other qualifying things that go along with this expectation, and the prayer of agreement is we can agree for things that God tells us that we can pray for. And He gives us some promises in His Word, like where two more agree on earth as touching any one thing, they'll ask it to be done of our Father which is in heaven. We know it's His will that not any should perish. So listen, if we agree together to pray for somebody that's unsaved, one of your loved ones, one of your children, one of your parents or your grandparents or a cousin or an aunt or an uncle, and they're not saved, and we know they're not saved, well, then we can put together and come together in agreement and pray that prayer for them. And let's don't just say pray one prayer or pray for a week or two or pray every now and then just give up over a year because they're not saved. Because He says ask. And that word means really in the Greek, if I understand it correctly, ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. In other words, don't give up. Because it is not God's will for them to perish. God, I would hate to go to, well, of course, when we get to heaven, we won't know anything about our loved ones or family members, except maybe we see them there, right? I don't think there's not going to be any tears, I don't think, except maybe at the judgment seat of Christ. But I sure wouldn't want to miss anybody up there. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't want to get up there and not see you there. Are you with me? I wouldn't want to get up there and not see my mom and dad there. I wouldn't want to get up there and not see my wife there or my children or whoever. So that's what we're asking for. That is the will of God. So we can ask that with expectation. And we don't ever need to give up on it either. I don't care even if they're on the deathbed. I've heard people getting saved on their deathbed, haven't you? And I think that, in fact, I've heard people that were even dead, had died, and were in the morgue. And somebody was rolling another body in there, and that person, and they saw the sheets moving, and that person came back to life. And when they did, have you ever seen Beyond and Back, the movie, or read the book? When they did, immediately their lives changed. They got right with God, and a lot of them ended up in the ministry. Are you with me? It's never too late for God, because He says if we pray with faith and anticipation and expectation, and we're praying according to His will, He wants them to be. Now, I realize that people have a will, and we do. We all realize that. And you can't go over there and twist them by the arm and threaten to break their neck if they don't confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because that's not the way it works. Amen? Yeah. Can't go over and say, well, you see this pistol in my hand? If you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to blow your brains out. You know, that's stupid. So there's a prayer of expectation. There's a prayer of agreement. And then thirdly, there's a prayer of faith. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not. I've seen some people, and I know some people that I'm praying for right now, that I know, because of things that they've done and the way they've lived, and stick with me on this now, that if I was God, I wouldn't save them. Are you listening? Now, let me say this. Knowing the way I've lived in the past, if I was God, I wouldn't have saved me. So when He says we're to pray the prayer of faith or the prayer of belief, we have to understand that he's saying that we need to really believe and trust God that he really loves people, no matter what they've done. He says, "Verily I say unto you," when the prayer of faith, their prayer of belief is, "If you have faith and doubt not, and shall not only, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree," because he'd went to a fig tree on his way into Jerusalem as they were leaving the garden. He went to a fig tree expecting to get some figs off of it because it was time to. It was time for ripe figs to be on the tree, and there were no figs on that tree. So Jesus said to the tree, no figs grow on you here forever. And when they came back from the city of Jerusalem, as they walked back in the garden later on that evening, they looked at that fig tree, and it was dead from the roots. That's when they asked him, "Boy, we're just amazed about this." But he says also, "If you shall say unto this mountain, be you removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done." Now, again, I'm saying, don't be like that little lady that heard this one time, lived in Switzerland or somewhere. She lived over where there was a mountain between her and the sea. And she had to walk a long ways and go over a bunch of hills and the sides of the mountains in order to get to the sea. So she said, "Well, God, I ask you to move that mountain out of the way so I can just walk right over there and go to the bay." Well, she just got up the next morning and looked and said, "Well, it's just like I thought. It's still there." She wasn't praying the prayer of expectation, right? But she wasn't praying something that would probably God would want to do anyway, right? So all of these things, the prayer of faith or the prayer of belief, has to do with not only just all things, whatever we ask in prayer, believing we shall receive, but it means that those things, as we found out, prayer of agreement, prayer of expectation, those things that are the will of God, we can pray that prayer and we can keep on praying, we can keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking, and God says it will be done. Amen? It may not necessarily, as I said, be done in our time, but it will be done. And we're talking about how to get your prayers answered, having your prayers answered. So we pray a prayer of expectation. We pray a prayer of agreement. We pray the prayer of faith and belief. And the next thing is one of the most important things. It's the prayer of knowing. And I want to read Mark chapter 10, verse 37. The prayer of knowing. They said unto him, "Grant unto us that we may sit one on your rightness." So this James and John, realizing that Jesus had, let me just explain something here. So this is pretty simple, but let me explain what was going on. They knew that Jesus was the king. They knew that he was coming into Jerusalem, and they were expecting him when he got into Jerusalem, sooner or later, they weren't expecting him to die. They went, especially on a cross. They weren't expecting him to be buried and resurrected. Even though he told them that, they didn't listen. They just didn't listen because their expectations were not that. Their expectations was that they had left everything, their jobs, their fishing business, their fishing boats, and followed a man for 3.5 years who was just going around preaching and wasn't doing anything, and they were just kind of expecting him to go into Jerusalem and set up a kingdom, and they wanted to rule with him. Amen? And so, in one place it says their mother, James and John's mother, two brothers, James and John, two disciples, and they came and said, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, when you get into Jerusalem and you become the king of Israel, we would like for you to grant to us that one of us would sit on your right hand and one of us would sit on your left hand." Amen. Yeah. So, I believe in asking the Lord for jobs. I believe to ask him, he says prayer about everything, right? And I don't know about you, but in my lifetime and everybody's lifetime that I know of, if they're old enough, they learn that We need God in our lives. We need not only God in our lives, we need a God that we can talk to and a God that can talk to us, that we can have fellowship with and a relationship with, and He will hear our prayers and answer and supply our needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So, again, it's not asking for anything stupid, and it's not asking for anything that's out of the way. And he's saying, so the prayer of knowing is, but Jesus said to them, Mark 10:38, but Jesus said to them, you know not what you ask. So a lot of times we're not praying a prayer that we know, that we can agree on, that we're sure that that's something that God has said. We may be asking for something in our prayers that the Lord hasn't told us in His Word or by His Spirit that we need to ask for that. Are you with me? So, if our prayers are not being answered, that's one of the reasons we're praying a prayer that we don't really know what we're asking for. We need to pray a prayer of knowing. We need to know God's Word. We need to get into God's Word and know what He tells us that we can pray for, and prayers that He will answer. And He's concerned about that, everything that concerns us. 1 John 5:14, I want to put this scripture in at this time in the prayer of knowing. And 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. Confidence means if I go to W.A. and say, W.A., learn me $10, I'm pretty confident that if he has $10, he's going to loan it to me, right? He's shaking his head, so. Maybe I don't need to put my confidence in him. But confidence means that we can put our confidence and our trust in God, right? We can, and this is what God has promised. And so we can go with confidence because the confidence that we have is in Him. Amen. That means our confidence is in... See, maybe I don't know W.A. that well. Maybe he wouldn't give me $10. So the point here is this. We can laugh about things, and that's good. But the point here is that we know Him. We don't know everything there is to know about Him. But we know He's good. We know that He's given Himself for us, that He sent His Son for us. We know that He loves us, and then He says, and we know His Word, that He says He will supply all of our needs according to the riches. Now, needs, not just wants and desires, but needs. So our confidence, if we can come with confidence before Him, because we know He's a good God, a great God, a mighty God, an awesome God, and we know He can do anything. So when we come to Him, we can have expectation in what we ask for, because we can have confidence in who He is and who He says He is to us and who we know Him to be, so we can put our trust in Him that, hey, I'm praying God's will, I'm confident, because I know who He is. I know who He is. I know that He loves me. I may not know everything there is to know about Him, but I know I can have confidence because I know. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything... See, now, here comes a qualifying scripture. So we can take a scripture over here and says, if you ask anything, your Father will do it. Here it says, if we ask anything, now this is qualifying that. So we can't take scriptures out of context over here in this place and try to make God do something. We need to understand, well, how do I get my prayers answered? We need to understand what He says about answered prayers in all of its aspects, so we'll know exactly how we're to pray. Amen? In this particular case, he's saying in 1 John about knowing, the prayer of knowing, we have in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. if it's not his will, he's not going to hear us. That doesn't mean he doesn't hear us. He's not deaf. He can hear everything that we say. Amen. But it means he's not going to hear us to the point that he's going to answer that prayer, just like the disciples were, James and John were asking for a position at his right hand and his left hand, which that was a good thing probably to ask for them, but that wasn't his will necessarily, but it wasn't something, as far as they were concerned, that was something not according to his will. Are you with me? But if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us because we have confidence in him. We're talking about how to get our prayers answered now. How many of you have ever had, by the way, answered prayer? You had God answer some prayer. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Now, every hand, if you're saved, every hand should have gone up on that. You know why? Because when you came and cried out to God and said, God, save me and give me from my sins and put me into your kingdom, he answered that prayer right then. So he has answered a prayer for you. Amen? And he wants to answer a lot more. So, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know. Everybody say, we know. We know. Twice here he says, we know. That means we know. We have some understanding. We know. We have confidence that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We know that he loves us. We know that he cares for us. We know that he's promised to supply all of our needs. So when we come with a prayer of that, with having that knowledge, we can pray with confidence in him and in his word. Amen. The next one, prayer of persistence. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. We just read that a while ago. And it came to pass, the prayer of persistence. Luke 11:1, and it came to pass that he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. In verse 9 he said, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh, to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more, everybody say more, shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen? How many of you have ever asked to be filled with his Holy Spirit? Keep yourself filled with the Holy Spirit. Have not because you ask not. Amen? He said over here, ask and it shall be given to you. Father in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. Over here, and it says, he says he will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. So we're talking about the prayer of persistence. Ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. Doesn't necessarily mean begging, because begging is, I come and I don't know whether you're going to give me something or not. I don't even know if you have something or not. I'm a beggar standing on the street. I don't know who has something or who does. God doesn't say we'd come to him in that kind of a fashion. He says we come with expectation, we come with knowing and understanding that he's given us his word, that he's our heavenly Father, and he wants to give us this so we can keep on asking, and we can do so with persistence. We can keep on knocking because we know what he's told us. Amen? We can keep on seeking. We can keep on trying to find and get the answer because he's told us so. Amen? So, then, I'm not going to get through all of these, so let's go to the next one, and we'll close with this one. This is the prayer for his works. John chapter St. John, Gospel, chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Now, who was he talking to? To that crowd of people that was there, the disciples. But yes, because it's written in his word is for us. Amen. He's talking to us. Look at somebody and say, "That's me." Amen. "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Okay, look, "he that believeth on me," if we put our trust in him, been born again, trust him. Now look at this, "the works that I do." Now if you look at the life, now hang on here a minute. If you look at the life of Jesus, what do you see? What works do you see him doing? Think about that. What works do we see him doing? So he says, in praying for his works to be accomplished, "the works that I do shall he also do." Shall he do also? So God says, if you're a believer, you can lay hands on the sick. If you're a believer, you can help feed the poor. If you're a believer, you can do a lot of things. The reason we don't see more things being done by the church today, and that is, I mean, by believers, where they are and wherever, whatever they're doing, is that we don't have enough of them that really believe. They expect the pastor. They expect the ministers. They expect the people that are in the church to do those things. And that's true. We should do those things. That's why we have anointing and healing service and a prayer for the sick and all of those things in this church. But there was a whole lot of people that Jesus went to. Now listen to me. They weren't in the temple. They weren't in the church. They were in where he was working. They were in the town that he was walking through. They come to find him by the seashore because they heard that he was doing all the things. And so they were coming to those people and to Jesus and saying, "Hey, I need this or I need that." Amen? So if you are a part of the church and you are a part of the church, if you've been saved and born again, that's what gets you saved, is that the Holy Spirit baptizes us or places us into the body of Christ. And His Spirit comes into our spirit, and we're born again by the Spirit of God, so that we have the Spirit of God in us, and we can do things. He tells us that we can do the same things that he did and works even greater than these. I could spend a lot of time on this. There's been some things, see, that's when I'm walking through my life, I've always pretty much worked all my life. Ever since I was 12 years old, I was mowing grass. We had seven children, seven counting me. And he worked in a refinery and then sold cookware, stainless steel cookware and everything else on the side to help make ends meet because, you know, that's what it took. So I learned at a very early age, if I was going to have something, not that he didn't want to supply my needs, and he did supply my necessities, my food and my clothes and shelter. When I turned 14 or 15 and thought I needed a car, he didn't supply me one of those. Are you with me? Or when I needed $100 to go buy a gun or something, he didn't supply that. But he was a good father. He supplied my needs. Amen? So we can expect God, and we can pray that the things that we do can be the same things that he did. So if we find somebody in our path that's in need, if we have the ability to pray for them, I don't want to have a raise of hands, but I just want to ask, how many people have you had in your family or people that you know on your jobs or wherever that were sick, and they said, you're a Christian, you know, pray for me, or you've prayed for them, or you've laid hands on them. You know, and you do that with expectation. That's God, because we're a part of the body, then God is working through His whole body, not just through, He works through pastors and evangelists and teachers and preachers and all of that, prophets and so on, but and some people He gives the gift of healing. That's a special gift. You know, He says that. But to all of us, He says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you know, then you can do the things that I've done. And the world's out there crying for help, and you can't wait and say, well, okay, you know, I know you're sick and it's on a Monday morning. Well, let me see if I can get you, well, if you'll come to church with me next Sunday morning, a week or so, 7 days later, and come to church, maybe my pastor can pray for you. And I'm not saying go out there and try to make a nuisance out of yourself either. Prayer for His works. He that believeth on me, he works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And what service you'll ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in His Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. So there's a qualifying. If we're going out here and we're not really loving Him and we're not really trying to keep His word, and that's another point we'll get into later on, and we'll continue this hopefully next Sunday, the Lord willing, and whatever. Jesus didn't come. And I think that all of you should be able to know what I need to do, what we've said. This shouldn't just be something you go out here and forget. This should have been something you wrote down. This would be something that you can go get somewhere off the internet and listen to and write down, so you'll know why my prayer's not being answered, and you can have a checklist, because you're praying to God and you're expecting Him to answer, and you've been praying for some things for a long time and He hasn't answered. You need to know why. Maybe there's something you're not doing to get that prayer answered. He wants to answer that prayer. Are you with me? If this prayer according to His will, maybe He wants you to, maybe not, He doesn't even, listen to this, please. I'm going to close with this statement. He may not just want to answer your prayers. He may want you, and probably does want you and me, we, to be the answer to other people's prayers. You listening? So at this two-way street out there, in fact, some of the greatest prayers I've ever seen answered was not because I was praying for myself or something that I needed. It was for praying for somebody else and what they needed. Amen? And I was shocked. Because maybe necessarily I wasn't praying the prayer of faith. In other words, when I prayed for somebody to get healed, I wasn't expecting them to get healed right then. But I have prayed for people that I wasn't expecting necessarily. I was praying for them because they come and said, I need this or I need that, and I was praying for them and they were healed instantaneously. Can I share, along these lines, I'm going to share one last story with you. Years ago, I won't say where, I was pastoring a Central Baptist church. Some of you know. Alrighty, that's all right. I was here in Ingleside, Central Baptist Church here in Ingleside. I had a lady that was coming to our church that had a cancer on her face. She lived right over here on this side of town. I can go show you where the house where she lived in. And it was about the size of a quarter on the side of her face. And here I am. That church was an independent Baptist church. And here I am on a Sunday night, and I'm the Lord, and on a Sunday morning as well, God says, I want you to start having an anointing service in this church. I want you to start laying hands on people and praying for them in this church. And I wanted to say, is there anybody else up there? Because we didn't do those, not in the Central Baptist Church, you didn't do that. But I had to be obedient. And so that Sunday morning I had to be obedient. And I just said, now folks, we're going to have a healing service this morning. And I expected some of them to get up and walk out. Some of them's eyes got about that big around. And I said, so anybody that wants to be healed, you come forward and I'm going to pray for you right now that you'd be healed. I hadn't started anointing at that particular time. This lady came forward. So I think some more people came forward, which I was kind of surprised. And I prayed for them. That lady came back to Sunday night at church. And some of her friends came with her, and they were all rejoicing. Because that cancer on the side of her face, about the size of a quarter, was completely gone. There was no scar. There was nothing there. It was just like she'd never had a cancer. Now, that wasn't me. That was God. And that's what God can do. Because He says, I can do anything. Well, for God, all things are possible. Amen? So, that made, I'm telling you, after that, we had a lot of healing services. Because people heard about that all over the place. They started coming. Our church got packed out. Because people wanted to come, not just to see somebody get healed, but they came because they had family members or loved ones that they wanted to bring so they could get healed. And they knew that they got healed because they knew this lady and they had seen that cancer on her face and that was gone. And she hadn't been to a doctor and had it cut off. There was no scar tissue. There was nothing. It had just disappeared by Sunday night. It was gone. I don't know when it disappeared. Well, sometime from Sunday morning before Sunday night, it was gone. So, that's why a lot of people come to healing services, and that's why evangelists, a lot of evangelists have healing services, because God is, not because they necessarily have a healing ministry, but God has a healing ministry. He is a Savior. He cares. I've given people things to help people financially. I give a lot of money away. Not that I'm rich. I say it may not be a lot of money to some people, but it's a lot of money to me, you know? And then they want to thank me. And I say, don't thank me, thank God, because if it had been up to me, I wouldn't have given it to you. Are you listening? I gave that to you because God told me to give that to you, and I had to be obedient to God. So thank God for that. Not me. So we're not looking for, men that are, and we that are Christians and believers, we're not looking for something to call attention to ourselves and say, look at this or look at that, this man is a healer or whatever. We're looking for them to say, we're looking to God because God uses you and me and we and us to reach out and to heal people and supply people's needs. And He gives all, He won't share His glory with any man. To all praise and honor and glory be unto Him. Because He's a good God, a great God, a mighty God, and a faithful God. And He wants to use us to show people that He is that kind of a God and that kind of a Heavenly Father. Amen? Let's everybody stand. We'll finish this, I guess, unless the Lord changes my mind. There's several more reasons why we need to talk about why God, how we get our prayers answered and what we need to do. So if you're wanting your prayers answered, come back next Sunday and we'll tell you some more. Maybe we hadn't hit on the exact reason for our prayers not being answered or your prayers not being answered in your life. Maybe God wants to show you something because He does want to answer your prayers. I'm going to tell you that right now. If anyone of them wants to come to the altar for prayer at this time, please come right now and we'll be glad to lay our hands on you and pray for you. Anybody, anywhere. Come on. Okay. Brother Johnny, would you dismiss us, please, sir?